Well, here we are at the Gloucestershire and Warwickshire Railway, and the noise you can hear is Black Prince giving footplate rides along the platform. As number 92203, she was one of the last steam engines to be built by British Railways at Swindon 50 years ago. In fact, she's been in steam as a preserved engine much longer than she ever was doing the job she was originally built for. I've been talking to her owner, David Shepherd, at his studio in Sussex about his passion for steam and the invaluable paintings he did of engines like this back in the 60s. And he's also here now to take part in the 50th anniversary festivities. So, David, introduce me to Black Prince.
There she is in front of you, 140 tonnes of steel, but much more than that. I ride horses, and I know that if you ride a horse and the horse knows you can't ride it properly, you need to play up, so will Black Prince.
It's a very big engine for a line like this, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's ideal, yes. I don't know whether these actual class of engines actually run on this railway when it was British Rail. I don't know, but they could have done. You could take this engine, although it weighs 140 tonnes, you could take her on any branch line because it's five driving wheels, so all the weight is spread over five driving axles. And they were brilliant engines.
Now, she was originally 92203.
Still is.
You gave her a name that she didn't have when she was on the main line.
No, they built 251 of this particular class, and the last one built any steam engine in England was Evening Star, the last engine. That was a 9F. That was the only one with a name. It was called Evening Star because of its celebrity status. I gave the engine Black Prince the name because it was my engine, and why not? I've got one or two silly people writing and saying, oh, it didn't have a name in those days and what he would name it for. I could name it Fred if I wanted to. It's my engine. But everybody knows it now as Black Prince.
We've lapsed into a bit of jargon already, haven't we? Because we're calling it a 9F. What does 9 and F mean in terms of an engine like this?
In the end of the groupings, LMS, LNER, Southern Railway and GWR in 1948, it all became British Rail, one umbrella. And in their infinite wisdom or stupidity, I don't know which, they decided to build 9 new standard classes of locomotives, from small tank engines to big freight engines like mine. All the parts were supposed to be interchangeable, which they weren't. So.
Well, that was the ambition anyway.
I know. So she's a standard 9. The ultimate in steam locomotive technology in this country was this engine, my 9F. It came in at the end of steam when there were people on BR politics who said we've got to get rid of steam at all costs immediately. The most appalling waste of taxpayers' money. Because Black Prince's sisters, some of them are scrapped at the age of about 5 or 6 years. And the average life of a steam engine, if you look after it properly, is 50 years, 60 years.
And what was an engine like this used for?
Freight, basically freight. But she hauled mainline passenger trains on the Somerset and Dorset. One was actually clocked at going 90 miles an hour with those tiny little driving wheels. I'd love to have seen it. They were passenger trains. They were so adaptable. They could do anything, but mainly designed as freight locos. The go-anywhere engine, which could go on branch lines. Marvellous engine, probably the finest.
Now, you bought this back in the 60s. Why did you choose this particular one?
Well, I decided on a 9F because I love 9Fs. I mean, I know nothing about the steam, how it steams. I haven't a clue how a steam engine works. I just love it for what they do. I wanted the best one they had. I rang up British Rail and they had about 20 or 30 or 40 still in steam on British Rail when I rang up that phone call. I get goose pimples whenever I see her. You see, I don't see her too often because I live 4.5 hours driving away down the bloody motorway. But if I saw her every weekend, I wouldn't be like this as I am now. But I'm just so excited because the pleasure. This is the whole thing in one sentence, the pleasure that this engine's given to hundreds of thousands, and I mean hundreds of thousands of people, in all the 42 years I've owned her. People are coming up to me every minute today and saying, thank you for what you're doing. I'm not doing anything. I'm enjoying myself. But it's a living machine that's giving untold pleasure to so many people.
It's amazing, really, given that the steam railway ended more than 40 years ago now on the main line, that there are this number of people paying homage to it.
Yeah, and young people. A little boy, I asked how old he was just now. He was 8 years old. And I said, why are you here? You ought to be here for diesels. He said, no, steam, it's like the old days, mister. He was 8 years old. Lovely. That's what it's all about.
What do you think of the engine?
It's nice. I've been on loads.
On what?
On loads.
Oh, you've been on loads?
Yeah. With my granddad.
Yeah. What about you? Is this your brother?
Yeah.
What do you think of it?
Cool.
It's not cool in there. It's very hot in there.
No, it means the train's like cool. Like it's not cool. It's hot. He means this bit's hot and that bit. The whole train's cool.
Yeah. Can I get down now, someone?
Granddaddy wants to help.
I get out here.
Do you? Do you want to be an engine driver?
Yes, I do.
Why are you putting stones into the fire?
He wants to know why you're putting stones into the fire, Mr. Fireman.
It's not stones, it's coal. And coal is prehistoric trees that have been dug out of the ground.
It's very hot in here.
It's very hot in here, and coal burns, makes a very big fire. You see how hot it is in there?
Yes.
It's over 1,000 degrees in there when the engine's running hard.
Go back to the early days and tell me, David, how did you catch the railway bug?
From my daddy, because he was an LMS man, LMS, London, Midland, Scottish, maroon coaches, Duchess Pacifics. And in the old days, 1930s, when I was growing up, instead of going to build sandcastles on the beach, he said, let's go and watch the trains go by. And I got the bug. And of course, then he had a model railway. We lived in Totteridge in North London. And he had an O-gauge model railway, beautiful Bassett Loke coaches, you know, it's long before plastic. And all I remember about that model railway, two things actually, funny enough. He wanted to get a better curve from the door, which was London, and the window, the other side of the room, which was Crewe. And to get a better curve, he drove right through the chimney breast and he bored a tunnel. So the people in that house know wonder why the chimney smokes. That's the reason. And underneath, I saw this the other day, funnily enough. It was my first adventure into conservation too. And it was built on cupboards. So I decided to set up a natural history museum underneath. And I remember having picked up a dead thrush and put it in the museum. And of course, several weeks later, it was very past gone with maggots. I remember the maggots climbing up onto Dad's model railway. It's my first memory of it, dear, oh dear.
And so you've always had that dual interest then in railways and in wildlife?
Well, starting from my little museum I set up, yes, I mean, conservation, but years went by without me giving a thought to conservation until many, many years later.
Do you remember watching trains as a boy? Were you a train spotter?
No, I never was a train spotter, but my passion in steam railways came through the eyes of an artist. And it really became in the forefront of my mind when many, many years later we were living in Farnham in Surrey. And I suddenly realised steam was going. I mean, we've jumped now from the 1930s to 1966 and 1967, which were the two what I call slaughter years when we were getting rid of our steam age at indecent haste. And the catalyst was an exhibition of, you see, it's wildlife again. And I had an exhibition, a one-man exhibition show in New York in 1967, and every picture sold on the first evening. And I came home in a state of euphoria. Without even thinking what I was doing, I picked up the telephone and bought two steam engines. I mean, without a thought of what I was doing. I don't think I even told Avril what I was doing, my wife.
And you were the kind of person that had enough money to buy an engine, whereas most ordinary people who wanted to save one would have found it quite difficult.
Yes, fair comment. You see, I was painting in the sheds, so there's that crazy 3 weeks that I spent in 1967, 66 and 7, painting in Guildford Sheds and Nine Elms Sheds, those two places. I dropped everything, although I had a full order book for doing wildlife paintings. Everything was commissioned and I had an order book, people waiting for my wildlife pictures. And it had to wait. None of my clients minded. And I took 3 weeks off, driving like a maniac around England and north of England and south of England, barging into sheds, no permits or anything. We don't bother about things like that. We just wandered in. And BR were wonderfully friendly, all the shed people I met, because they understood what we were trying to do. And I got caught up in the preservation bug. And I rang up Bob McMurdy, who was the motive power superintendent at Stoke-on-Trent, just because I happened to know him. I said, I want a 9F. Why? Because I like 9Fs. Magnificent engines. And I said, well, I want a good one. I had enough sense to say I want a good one.
My name is Joan Roberts and we come from Willinor in the Black Country.
And who's this with you?
This is my husband Peter and these are my grandsons Jake and Zach Downs.
Well done.
And it was really bumpy.
Was it?
Yeah. Well, they've just been on the footplate of the Black Prince and they've took us down the line and back up. They've thoroughly enjoyed it.
And what did you think of it?
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant, and it's a special engine. It's up with their favourites along with Mallard and the Duchess, all the Duchess class and the Princess class. The Black Prince is up there with them.
This young man here, he sneaked on Mallard when we went to York the other week.
Jake, tell me what it was like going up onto the engine.
Nice.
What did you look at?
All the levers. The whistle.
You pulled the whistle, did you?
Yeah.
What kind of a noise did it make?
A poo-poo.
Like that, you mean?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What about you? What did you do?
It was really bumpy.
Was it? And was it hot?
Really hot.
What are you going to do when you grow up?
Put a coal in.
What about you, Jake?
Be the driver.
I don't want to paint happy steam engine pictures all shining coming out of a tunnel mouth, you know. That's been done to death in photographs. I wanted to portray something of the sad end of steam, the disgusting, disgraceful, scandalous way we ended our steam age. It should have gone out in a blaze of glory. It went out in filth and neglect. The shed men themselves were thrown out on the scrap heap. I got to know the workforce in Guildford Sheds, my hometown. Wonderful guys, some of the finest people I'll ever know. And they were thrown on the scrap heap as well when the shed was knocked over. I remember the fitter, Beer Alston, was a West Country loco that came in for an intermediate overhaul as I was painting in the shed. And I heard the shed master say to the fitter, don't bother to do a decent job because this is going to be cut up for scrap in 3 months' time. What a thing to say to these wonderful, qualified guys. And I got caught up in that too, so I made some of the greatest friends I'll ever make in my life.
What was the attraction of the railway? Was it the engines themselves, the scene, or was it the people?
It was the shed atmosphere of that wonderful group of people in a crumbling shed. Everything was derelict and falling down, and the engines were neglected, but they kept running, because they're engines, and steam engines do that. They don't let you down. But it was the atmosphere, that was what I was going for. People used to say, why do you have to paint all these unhappy railway pictures? Well, the end of our steam age was unhappy. It was scandalous, as I've said. If Rembrandt had been alive in those days, Rembrandt would have loved that because of all the shafts of sunlight coming through the roof, playing on pools of oil on the floor and wisps of steam and gorgeous Rembrandt colours.
So, actually, when you think of it, you do have the darkness and the grime, but you've put your finger on it there. It is because of the sunlight, the light that lit it up, is the thing that attracted you.
Yes, and I remember one lovely moment. We were walking to a new location down the shed, and there was a bully Pacific covered in grime, and I got my handkerchief out of mine, and I went like this, going through the grime, rubbing it, wiping away these months and years of sheer filth and oil and muck, and these lovely display of Brunswick green and orange and black lining. I wanted to clean them all, you know, and let them go to the scrapyard with a bit of pride.
At the same time, there were other people who were interested in preserving the engines and the railway scene, the steam and the atmosphere that it portrayed. What was it like in that period when you bought those engines and working with all these other preservationists?
I don't think I had time to think. I was just a maniacal rush to do it as fast as I could. But we were realising that I think Britain generally is not as good as it should be preserving our heritage. And in fact, that's a mild way I feel. And it was left to the individuals like me and the others, many others, to save something of our heritage, to show people growing up what it was like. And in the intervening years, it's grown, this desire to show young people what the steam age was like, how filthy it was. I mean, it had to go. We lived in Epping, eventually. And I remember Dad and Mum took my brother and sister and me to the theatre in London. And we get on the train at Epping. And by the time we got to Liverpool Street, we were covered in filth. Now, to me, Liverpool Street was much nicer in those days because it was full of atmosphere, although you got filthy and covered in soot by touching anything. Oh, God, it was terrible. Terrible and wonderful. But that wouldn't have lasted. It had to go. It was out of date and finished.
Were you conscious of preserving something of the Industrial Revolution, as it were? Were you thinking about the railways that had begun in Stevenson's time?
No, I didn't even think of it. I was thinking of the immediate moment. I wasn't thinking of the past at all when I was actually working. I wasn't thinking of anything except getting something onto canvas.
It was just that moment in time?
That moment in time, because I knew if I didn't get it done, it was too late.
Well, one of the other important people here at the Gloucestershire and Warwickshire Railway is the man who's actually the fireman on Black Prince today, Ian Crowder. Now, David Shepherd, even though he owns this locomotive, keeps telling me he doesn't really know how it works. So can you tell us more about Black Prince? It was, as we've explained, a 9F.
Yes.
And it was principally a freight locomotive.
Yes.
What more can you tell us about it, apart from the fact that it's ruddy enormous?
Well, it's certainly enormous, and it's one of a number of standard classes which were designed after the war and after the railways were nationalised by a chap called Robert Riddles. And he took some of the best parts from locomotives running on a range of railways, and many features of the boiler of this locomotive can be dated back to Churchwood's day on the Great Western Railway, you know, to the beginning of the 20th century.
So it was built by the nationalised industry, but
yes.
It had a lot of ideas in it that had been in existence with the private companies before that.
What's interesting is that this locomotive is relatively simple in concept. It's got just two cylinders rather than three or four. And if you've got more than two cylinders, they have to be between the frames, so they're much more difficult to get at the moving parts to lubricate them. Now, it's fired by coal, and it's got a big, wide coal firebox, and the sort of hot gases from the fire pass through a series of tubes which run the length of the boiler. And if you like, that's the element, to take a parallel with the kettle, that's the element that heats the water in the boiler, which is about three quarters full of water, and above that level it's steam. And then that is fed from the regulator through a device known as a reverser, which controls the period of time that the cylinders are exposed to steam.
I still, even though I've been taught that lots of times and I've read books about it, I still think that's an amazing thing. This whispery stuff that we call steam, once it gets into that cylinder at that pressure, it can cause so much power.
Yeah, there's a huge amount of power, and this, you know, Class 9 was the most powerful locomotive to work on British Railways, and you would expect to see this engine handling the heaviest of freight trains, although interestingly, they were so well designed, so well balanced, and although there's probably a ton and a half of or 2 tons of metal flying around with the valve gear and the connecting rods and the coupling rods that transmit the power to the wheels. So you've got a reciprocating motion which converts into rotary motion, much the same as a car, but if you like, the big ends and connecting rods in a car are all contained within the body of the engine. You can't see them. On a steam locomotive, you can see them all. So
it's like like looking inside the piston of a car, isn't it?
It is very much like that. And these engines, in fact, did have a reputation for running quite fast, and occasionally they found themselves sort of deputising for an express engine that had failed and handling an express train. And there's a notable example when one of these engines was running a train from a failed A4 class Pacific like Mallard from Peterborough South to King's Cross, and it touched 92 miles an hour on the way down.
So with a hole in your bank account, you ended up with these two steam engines in crew. Had you given a thought to where you were going to put them?
Oh, no. When I put the phone down, I broke out into a panic. I think grey hair started growing at that moment. I thought, my God, what have I done? I bought two steam engines, weighing 100 tonnes plus each one, and no home to go to. And I began to panic, I really did. Because I remember the first time I actually saw Black Prince was in Crewe South Shed and saw Nigel Gresley. She was in there as well, with the owners of Nigel Gresley in a panic. They were in their little panic.
They'd bought their engine and you'd bought yours.
Yes, and they were all coupled together, and there was an awful lot of steam locomotive where they're all piled up together. Oh, my God. And it was through Jesus Christ that we found a home. It was at that time that I had a commission to paint a reredos. I didn't even know what a reredos was. It was a painting to go behind the altar by the army at Borden Camp in Hampshire. And one of the officers that I was dealing with in doing my commissioning my painting of Christ was a steam enthusiast, and I told him, oh God, I've got nowhere to go, I've got these two engines. And he said, well, why don't I think, as long as we don't tell the War Office, because they'll have a fit if we tell them, but we don't have to tell the War Office because it's down in Hampshire. And he said, well, as long as we don't tell anybody, I think we can probably give you a home at Longmore, tuck them away on the Longmore Military Railway. Well, you can sort of sort your future out. And then it started, because I was painting these sketches in Nine Elms and Guildford, and I met the Clan Line boys, and they said, well, God, we're looking for a home too. I mean, we've got 140 tonnes of steam engine ourselves, we'd nowhere to go. Do you think you could ask that colonel if we can come with you to Longmore? And then the Blackmore Vale people found out, and they said, do you think he'd take Blackmore Vale as well? And the colonel was saying, look, now, this has got to stop. This is crazy. We're going to have more engines down at Longmore than the army you've got. And the War Office are going to find out. And we got away with murder.
And Longmore was a base where they taught army people about operating trains, because for 100 years or more, railways had been a very big part of fighting war, hadn't they?
Longmore Military Railway in World War II was, my gosh, in the forefront with D-Day landings, and all the areas now which are pine trees were tracks of railway sidings. A massive operation. And we put Clan Line into a Nissen hut, and we got away with murder. Really did. And then we finally had open days at Longmore.
What's actually happening at the moment, there's an N-gauge model of Black Prince running on the track, which has been laid along the running board of the locomotive.
Now, for those who don't know, what's N-gauge?
N-gauge is, it's extremely tiny, and the height of the locomotive is it's only about 2 centimetres, and the detail in it is absolutely extraordinary. If you look at it closely...
With a magnifying glass. You have to have a magnifying glass to read the nameplate, Black Prince.
So it's that detailed?
Yes, 4.5 inches long it is, and working order.
And what's the point of this small version of Black
Prince? This is a limited edition version of the model.
150 being made, and they're raising money for wildlife too, the David Shepherd Wildlife Foundation. Every model you buy, a certain amount goes to my wildlife foundation to help save the tiger.
So you're combining both your enthusiasms again?
Exactly that. But it's a piece of jewellery if you look at it. It's even got the foundation nameplate on the front.
It's fallen off, but it's in my pocket. But
the little engine's having quite a fun time because I've just seen it on the footplate of the big engine.
Yes, I think that'll be a fairly precious one. It's actually travelled on the real thing. But yes, there's a great following for model railways, and this engine, I think, as David says, is a real jewel.
And those limited edition models,
£109 each.
Were snapped up straight away, were they?
Yeah, they've all gone. But I think that's a mark of what people think about the locomotive and what they think about David Shepherd and the fantastic work he does for the David Shepherd Wildlife Foundation, and which he established to help conserve endangered wildlife species.
And we're surrounded by people on the platform here, aren't we?
We are, and they're all waving books and paintings and so on, hoping to persuade David to sign it for them. I think it's a great honour for us on the railway to have his locomotive here as a resident.